The NBA's play-in tournament tips off tonight. It's that slightly convoluted mini-tournament that decides who plays the teams already through to the playoffs. They're having a rest. The Western Conference games are tonight. Stars like LeBron James and Steph Curry will try to keep their seasons alive. Oh, yes, in women's basketball, the WNBA draft was last night. Gee, I wonder who was first overall.
The Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
Surprise! We're joined by NBA columnist and Boston University lecturer A. Sherrod Blakely. And Sherrod, we want to start with the men's, though, the play-in tournament. How does it work for those uninitiated, and how are people feeling about it, you know, 4 years in now?
Well, let's just go through the format. First off, the number 7 and 8 seeded teams play each other. The winner will then become the official number 7 seed, and that team will play the number 2 seed.
Okay.
The loser of the 7-8 game will then play the winner of the 9-10 game, and the winner of that game will be the 8th and final playoff seed.
I need a whiteboard.
Yeah, there's a certain flow chart dynamic that you have to kind of follow to keep along with it. But the bottom line is, this year in particular, the playing games have a little bit more star power than usual. When you talk about LeBron James, you talk about Steph Curry.
Right.
You know, and over in the East, you've got Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler among those playing in the playing game. So it has a little bit more sex appeal to it this year than past years. But overall, people like what they've seen, especially when you look at a team like the Miami Heat that went all the way to the they went very deep into the playoffs a year ago after beginning in a play-in game.
Well, and kids love it too because it's exciting. They're at a tournament. They have no idea. It's this play-in thing. It's fun. But speaking of exciting, Caitlin Clark, number 1 overall in last night's WNBA draft, a lovely gala capping an amazing week where she's also going to appear on Saturday Night Live. Her new team, the Indiana Fever, they'll be nationally broadcast a lot. So, you know, we're also hearing she's been offered something like $76,000 compared to the millions men get. Is it thought that that will rise as she rises the league? She and others, yeah.
Yeah, well, the league itself has to rise. And that $76,000 that you mentioned, that's the salary that's slotted for where she was drafted. And obviously, over time, that will increase. But the thing that Caitlin and a lot of, I think, the WNBA players are realizing is the power that they have beyond that base salary. You know, when you look at the NBA players, they make a lot of money, obviously, with base salaries, but most of them make more money outside of the game. And Caitlin will be no different in that regard. But
yeah.
I do anticipate as time moves on, you'll start seeing that rookie salary scale, which is what we're talking about with Caitlin. You'll see that increase. Will it be at the level of the men's game? Who knows? But
maybe.
Will definitely be trending in the right direction as that goes.
We have to mention other stars who went high last night. Cameron Brink, who starts high. She's like 9 feet tall. She went to the LA Sparks, Angel Reese to Chicago. Women who are now household names. I mean, you think we're going to start to see this big shift?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that more than anything else, this is what happens when opportunity presents itself and you have the right people at the right time making the right impact that goes beyond just the X's and O's and wins and losses. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese have done so much for the game of women's basketball. And I'm not talking just their colleges. I'm talking about in general. And we'll continue to see that trend going forward with the likes of Juju Watkins out in USC and other young talented players on the rise.
NBA columnist and Boston University lecturer A. Sherrod Blakely, thank you so much.
No problem.